The NATO alliance is more than a military force. It's also a symbol of a unified Europe. But just take a listen to this. Those are protesters chanting in Chemnitz, a city in eastern Germany. They've been taking to the streets all week there. "We are the folk," is what they're chanting, the folk being the people. It's a slogan that Germans used when the Berlin Wall came down. But these days, "We are the folk" has a different connotation. It's a nationalist rallying cry in today's Germany, often associated with the far right and extremist groups. There's a backstory to the protests in Chemnitz. On Sunday, a 35-year-old man was fatally stabbed there. Two men, an Iraqi and a Syrian, were detained as suspects. Apparently, that's all supporters of the far right needed to know. They seized the moment and took to the streets. Some of them were seen flashing Nazi salutes. Protesters also chanted, "Foreigners out," and groups of them even chased down people they thought were immigrants in targeted attacks. Sarah Hackel is a reporter in Germany with ABC News, and she joins us from Berlin. So this stabbing happened in Chemnitz. What can you tell us about the suspects and the victim?
So the victim was a 35-year-old known only as Daniel H. That's per German legal requirements and releasing names. There were thought to be an altercation, and now two young men, a Syrian citizen and an Iraqi citizen, have been taken into custody. That's kind of the starting point, and how it prompted violence is kind of the next part of the story, let's say.
So take us to that part of the tale. How did it get to the point where people are now rioting in the streets of Chemnitz?
So there were some different factors. There was a lot of false information circulating on the internet, specifically that Daniel H., the man who unfortunately died in this event, died defending a woman from these attackers of non-German citizenry, let's say. There was also another rumor that was swirling around that a second person was killed. And specifically, people in far-right extremist circles circulated this information and used it as a kind of rallying cry to get people on the streets. So very spontaneous rioting broke out in a kind of mob-like atmosphere. There was some very strong anti-foreigner sentiment, people shouting things, going after people who looked foreign, let's say. That was the first part of what actually happened. A couple of days later, you've had many German officials saying that actually this violence, which started as a result of what we could essentially call fake news, fake information that was just coming out via Twitter and other social media platforms.
Right. So once the authorities denied these fake news stories that the man was defending a woman, etc., did the anger die back a little bit?
I would say no. I think frustration still that many people have with Chancellor Merkel's decision to allow about 1 million refugees into the country in 2015. Migration is a major political topic at the moment. So I think what happened with this action, it was something that really motivated a lot of people to act in a fully unacceptable way.
Well, Chancellor Merkel responded to the protests in Chemnitz saying, quote, "I can only stress that this has nothing to do with the rule of law in this country. There can be no place in our streets for such rioting." What you point out, the criticism of Merkel opening the door so wide to refugees in Germany, she's faced that criticism before. How's she responding this time?
Yeah, well, I think she's maintained a pretty hard line in this regard in terms of, you know, they've identified at least 10 people who were doing the Heil Hitler salute, which is illegal in Germany, during the rioting on Sunday and Monday. So it's very important that Chancellor Merkel sticks her ground and speaks out very loudly against this kind of anti-foreigner sentiment, obviously, given the country's history. However, she's also suffered quite a lot in the region of Saxony, which is where Chemnitz is located. This is a region where the far right anti-Islam party, the Alternative for Germany, did very well. 25% of the voters actually voted for this party. So kind of a whirlwind of many different issues in this region that so many people did mobilize to act in this way.
So how risky would you say it is, Sarah, to be a refugee right now in Chemnitz?
I would imagine if you are a refugee in Chemnitz right now, you're probably not feeling very comfortable. I think part of the issue is that the people who were out on the streets on Monday and in some cases since then, or who are expressing their discontent, are not necessarily far right extremists. There are a lot of citizens who are expressing their discontent in general, upset about, I've read some people saying, you know, why let a knife wielding foreigner into our country? I mean, certainly if you're reading about your neighbors, people in your community saying things like that as a refugee, you're not going to feel very welcomed or comfortable.
Yeah, and I guess for many others in Germany, that fact that it's not just extremists out there in the street has to be especially concerning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is exactly what the government is going to have to deal with and what German society is really going to have to take a long, hard look at.
Sarah Huckel, a reporter in Berlin with ABC News. Thank you.
Thank you.